Good morning, and as most of you are probably aware, it's been proposed that biochar be added to soils in order to sequester CO2 from the atmosphere, and also hopefully to increase the soil productivity or soil quality. However, at the time we started this study, there really hadn't been a lot of multi-year studies where they looked at the effect of biochar or even the effect of biochar and manure on the net end mineralization or gas emissions from particularly in calcareous soils like we have in southern Idaho. So we set up, I'll be reporting on 3 years of data on a 5 year field study. The study was a randomized complete block design with three replications. We had four treatments in the study, a control where no organics were applied, a manure treatment where 42 megagrams per hectare of dry weight manure was applied, a biochar treatment where we applied 22.4 megagrams per hectare, and that was equivalent to 1% of the soil mass in the plow layer. And then we had a manure and biochar treatment where we applied the biochar manure at the same rates as in the, single organic treatments. Biochar was a dynamotive sequest material derived from a hardwood waste feedstock. It was produced under a fast pyrolysis procedure at about 550 degrees C, had an ash content of 14% and an oxygen carbon ratio of 0.22. The manure was from a dairy. It had been stockpiled over the summer in an open pen. The organic material was applied only once, and that in the fall of 2008. And then in the early summer of 2009, we applied 200 kilograms of inorganic N to the control plots and 200 kilograms inorganic N to the biochar plots. We applied no inorganic N to the manure, either of the manure plots, because we estimated that about 200 kilograms of N per hectare would be made available through mineralization of the manure. So theoretically, then, each of the treatments had the same amount of N available to them. And then in 2010 and 2011, we applied the inorganic N enough that we would reach our yield targets. So, but we also accounted for the amount of nitrogen that would be made available through mineralization of the manure in that second and third year. The material was manually applied again in the fall of 2008. We measured net end mineralization using a berry bag approach. We also measured soil temperature at 7.5 centimeters depth. The net end mineralization, as you may remember, is essentially the sum of three processes, the end mineralized, the end immobilized, and the end denitrified. In the berry bag approach, we strictly regulate the soil water content in these soils so that we minimize and hopefully make negligible any denitrification that would occur. So in effect, then net end mineralization is equal to the mineralized end minus the immobilized end. And then this is just the process by which the organic matter is converted to nitrate. We measured soil greenhouse gas fluxes, that is CO2, N2O, and CH4, using three distributed chambers per plot. In 2009, we used real-time analysis using an ANOVA photoacoustic field gas monitor, and that was in real time. Logistically, that became very difficult to do. So in 2010-2011, we simply collected the gas samples from the headspace of the chambers and then analyzed those using gas chromatography. We also measured corn silage yield, crop N uptake, and in 1 year, at the end of the season, we measured residual biomass distribution, that is both above and below ground, and we sampled roots using soil cores. In the statistical analysis, we used Plan F tests to evaluate orthogonal class comparisons so that we could look at the main effect of biochar, the main effect of manure, and the biochar by manure interaction. We also looked at specific class comparisons. We compared the biochar alone treatment versus all other treatments as a class, and we compared the biochar plus manure treatment versus all other treatments as a class. These are the corn silage yield data. What I'm showing is corn silage yield in dry weight in megagrams per hectare on the vertical axis for 2009, 2010, and 2011. Chart A here shows the overall effect of biochar on the yields. You can see that there was biochar slightly increased yields in 2009, but there was a notable reduction by the biochar for the yields in 2010, no effect in 2011. The overall effect of manure was nil in 2009, but it notably increased the yields in 2010, and you also had a slighter increase in yields in 2011. The corn silage nitrogen concentration in 2010 notice shows that the biochar decreased the N concentration in the silage in 2010, and this corresponds to that decrease in yields in 2010 as well. So after seeing this, we assume that the biochar reduced N availability, and that reduced the yield. Here's the net N mineralization data. What I'm showing here is the three-year cumulative net N mineralization in milligrams per kilogram of soil. Here we can see that the overall biochar effect was not significant, whereas in the manure, significantly and substantially increased net N mineralization. That's a 1.6-fold increase over the non-manured plots. And essentially what we're seeing here is that the biochar does not provide any readily mineralizable carbon or organic material for the microbial system, whereas, as we all know, manure provides a very substantial amount of readily mineralized organics. This chart C here shows evaluates the effect of biochar-only treatment versus all other treatments on average. You can see that the biochar-only reduced net N mineralization, Whereas when we looked at the biochar plus manure treatment relative to the others, that increased net N mineralization. So in other words, biochar alone minimized net N mineralization, whereas when you add biochar with manure, you maximized net N mineralization. And the reason you have that is because there is an interaction between the manure and the biochar. The charts A and B here show the seasonal net N mineralization in milligrams per kilogram on the vertical axis. The black line shows what happens when you increase biochar without manure. The red line shows what happens when you increase biochar with manure. And you can see that without manure, the biochar only plot decreased net N mineralization, whereas if you had manure present, biochar increased it. So there's a nice interaction there that's going on. Note also that the same kind of interaction occurred for the root mass, for the residual to harvested C ratio, and in 2010, for the particularly for the yields, for the N uptake, and for the corn ant concentration. Here's the seasonal greenhouse gas emission data. I'm showing the season-long gas emissions and for CO2 carbon, N2O nitrogen, and methane carbon. You'll note that the units here change, so don't let that throw you. Chart A shows that the biochar had no effect on the gas emission flux for either of the gases, whereas the overall effect of manure was to increase the carbon dioxide emissions, but had no effect on N2O or the CH4C in these soils. Over here in chart C, it again evaluates that biochar only versus the all the other treatments as a class. And as you can see, the biochar only treatment relative to the others decreased the CO2C emissions and also decreased the N2O N emissions. No effect on the methane. The fact that the biochar-only treatment minimized both the CO2C and the N2ON emissions indicates that you had the biochar-only treatment decreased N immobilization, and therefore it also decreased the gross N mineralization. Since remember, it also the biochar-only treatment had also minimized N net N mineralization, so that requires that occur. The biochar-only treatment also then reduced the N-assimilation by the microbial groups, either by inhibiting the soil microbial activity or by altering the microbial community composition, or possibly also by changing the partitioning of N through the proteolysis, ammonification, and nitrification pathways. In any case, the end result was that it led to an apparent increase in the stabilization of soil, the original soil carbon in the system. Interesting question we had was, why did the biochar reduce yields in 2010? And there's a couple factors that may be coming into play here. First of all, soil temperature. The red line shows the soil temperature in 2010 versus that in the red and blue for the other years. You can see that there's a substantial reduction in soil temperature in 2010 versus the other years. Also, remember that the previous crop residue in 2009 was barley, and which has a relatively high C to N ratio, whereas in 2010 the residual crop was corn, and that has a lower C to N ratio. I think the average is something like 50 for barley, and if I remember right, 30 for corn. The literature has reported that both of these factors will tend to inhibit nitrification. So if you get an inhibited nitrification, then you should get a buildup of ammonium nitrate. And so we could look at that by looking at the net gain in nitrate N or ammonia N in our buried bag soils. And so these charts show the net concentration gain in milligrams per kilogram of soil on the vertical axis for 2009, 2010, and 2011. And without going into a lot of detail, what this shows is that during 2009 and up to early summer in 2010, you had ammonification and the nitrification processes were actively occurring. You were getting conversion to ammonium and then a conversion of that ammonium to nitrate. So the nitrate tends to be higher than the ammonium. However, in late summer in 2010 and even into the early part of the season in 2011, seeing the ammonia comes to dominate the inorganic N pools in these soils. So what we hypothesize is that because of this inhibited nitrification caused by the biochar-only treatment, that caused an increase in the dominance of ammonia in the system, and then you had an aging of the biochar since it was applied in the fall of 2008 through that late summer period in 2010. The aging of the biochar has been reported increases the porosity of the biochar. It also increases the negative charge on the biochar. And that ultimately increases the capacity of the biochar to sequester or to bind ammonium cations. So what we think is happening is that the biochar-only treatment caused an because of the temperature effects and the residue effects, caused the which caused the ammonium to dominate, then the biochar sequestered that ammonium, reduced the availability of the N to the crop, and therefore reduced the yields. Just a couple of conclusions. The multi-year nature of biochar's influence implies that a long-term driver is involved here. A number of people have suggested that biochar produces ethylene or produces an inorganic, releases, that is, an inorganic material like phenols, which it's in turn affects the microbial system. However, in my mind, those are probably short-term type events. We think that it's more likely that this effect of biochar is more related to the enduring porosity and surface chemistry characteristics. And then finally, really combining biochar and manure really turned out to be a really effective way of utilizing these two materials, because the manure eliminated the potential of the biochar to reduce or cause these reductions in yield under certain circumstances. Yet, by adding manure, you were able to maximize the N mineralization potential of the manure. So with that, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, one question.
What's the cost of putting on 30 megagrams of
biochar? I don't have an answer to that question. I don't think that maybe David has an idea. Our biochar, which we got back in 2008, we got from Dynamotive. Dynamotive has since gone out of business, and so I don't have any idea at this point how much they would charge for biochar. I don't want to go on too long, but I think the biochar, in my view, has not really taken off much because in the general agronomic scene, because the fact that there's really no way to compensate the farmers for applying it at this point. And I think when and if they ever come to the point where farmers can get carbon credits, then I think there will definitely be more economic incentive. Thank you.
Thank you.